Please turn again to Genesis chapter 2. Let us read again from verses 21 to 25. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and clothed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. For a few moments today, I want to preach on the subject, the first marriage. But just before we do so, let us bow in prayer and ask the Lord for his help again as we come to consider God's precious truth. Father in heaven, we thank thee and we praise thee for thy precious word. And we pray, Lord, as we would seek to commence this short series on the family, that you would come and fill us afresh with your gracious Holy Spirit. Defeat the devil. Oh God, we're so conscious of the workings of hell. We pray, Lord, therefore, that you would bind the strong man. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you would give us power as we would seek to preach thy truth this day. Oh Lord, we pray that you'd bless our congregation. We ask the Lord that you would come and unite our families in Christ. And oh God, that we might all know the blessing of household salvation. We pray for those in our families who are still unsaved, that you would draw them to the Savior. Speak to their hearts. And oh God, we pray for those that are saved in our families, that you would lead them on with yourself and give them that desire in these days to walk with God. So bless us now, we pray thee. Come and meet with us now. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. The family and the institution of marriage are very much under attack today. When you have our own Prime Minister seeking to redefine the meaning of marriage, then you know that things are bad and that we are living in the last of the last days. In the House of Commons this week, the first part of a bill was passed by 400 votes to 175 votes to redefine the meaning of marriage. Child of God, you and I should not be surprised when we hear of such things taking place. We may be angry, we may be disgusted, but we should never be surprised, because the Lord Jesus Christ said before he ascended back into heaven, as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the days when the Son of Man is revealed. In other words, prior to the second coming of Christ, spiritually and morally, things will wax worse and worse. Indeed, I believe that before Christ returns, every sinful practice of man will be legalized. But dear child of God, no matter how bad things become, it is imperative that you and I, who are saved, who belong to Christ, seek to remain faithful to the teaching of God's precious word. And God's word has much to say when it comes to the subject of the family and the institution of marriage. Over these next number of weeks, I want to preach on the subject, Bible truth for the family in this 21st century. What does the Bible teach when it comes to the family and family life? Well, that's what we want to consider in the course of these studies. And I pray that the Lord will come and speak to all of our hearts as we turn to the precious Word of God and consider this subject. Today, as an introductory message, I want to draw your attention to the first marriage in the Bible. Here in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, we have the institution of the first marriage and the setting up of the first family upon earth. What do we learn here about marriage in Genesis 1 and 2. Well, I'm sure it's a familiar passage to most of us, but I do pray that as we turn to this portion of Scripture, the beginning of the Bible, and consider this subject today, that the Lord will come and write His Word afresh upon our hearts. I'm sure I'm not going to draw your attention to things that you don't already know, but it's always good to consider afresh what God's precious Word teaches, even in matters that we are familiar with. And what do we learn here about this first marriage in Genesis chapters 1 and 2? Well, first of all, I want you to consider the origin of marriage. Marriage was instituted by God at the beginning of time. Indeed, marriage was the very first institution that God ordained after the creation of this world. So, the origin of marriage goes right back to the beginning of the creation of the world. Look at chapter 2 and take a look with me there at verse 21. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and clothed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife. And there shall be one flesh." Not only do we have the origin and the institution of marriage here, but we have God setting up the first family as the basis, as the basic building block of society. And I want you to see that truth here in this portion of Scripture. Take away marriage and the family out of society, and you take away the foundation of society. Therefore, Genesis 1 and 2, in this portion of Scripture, when God instituted marriage and set up the family unit, the Lord was laying the foundation for mankind in order to have a strong and healthy society. How this first marriage and family came about, of course, is quite unique in this passage of Scripture that we have read. We read here that God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, the first man. And when Adam was asleep, God took one of Adam's ribs, and out of that rib, God created a woman, Eve. And then God brought them together and married them, and they became husband and wife. And the first family unit was set up upon earth. Now, as I've said, these are familiar words, I'm sure, to most of us. But they are words that we should study and consider carefully, especially in this day and age in which we are living. Therefore, marriage and the setting up of the family unit was God's plan and God's design. It is not up to man or governments to define marriage and the meaning of the family, because God has already defined it. To interfere with the family unit and to seek to redefine the meaning of marriage is to seek to change what God has established in His holy word from the beginning of time. What our country needs today is to get back to the Bible, the precious word of God. And I pray in these days that the Lord will come in revival and that the Lord will move in our land afresh and send us a revival and send us a reformation of true biblical truth. Thank God today, as we are gathered in God's house, we can turn to the Word of God. And as we turn to the precious Word of God, we see here what God in His truth says about marriage and the family unit. But notice something else here, and I believe this is very, very important as we seek to consider the first marriage that we have recorded in the Bible. Not only the origin of marriage, but I want you to notice the couple in marriage. The reason why David Cameron and his government are seeking to redefine marriage is because they want to make it legal for two men or two women to get married. Not only are they seeking to make a mockery of marriage, but they are seeking to change the fundamental meaning of marriage. When God instituted marriage at the beginning, it was between a man and a woman. The couple that God married in the beginning was Adam and Eve. They were male and female. Look again at Genesis chapter 2, verse 23. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." Just look over at chapter 1 and underline in your Bibles verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Now it's very important that under this point that we see what God teaches concerning sodomy. You see, dogmatically, in the Word of God, the Lord condemns sodomy as a sin. Now keep your hand in Genesis chapter 2 there, and turn over to Leviticus chapter 18, and take a look what the Word of God tells us here in verse 22 of Leviticus chapter 18. Here's the word of the Lord. "Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination." And turn over to chapter 20 of Leviticus and look at verse 13. And you'll read these words. "If a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them." Therefore, even to suggest that God would permit two men or two women to get legally married is an abomination in the sight of God. For any nation or any government to legalize sodomy, which our government has already done, by the way, not alone legalizing sodomite marriages, is to call down the judgment of God upon that nation or that government. God's word is very clear. God's word teaches clearly that in marriage, man and a woman, that's the couple. And when it comes to sodomite so-called marriages, it's an abomination unto God. God condemns the sin of sodomy. And even in this first 21st century, it is so important that we establish what God's word teaches on these things. In fact, turn to the New Testament. I was reading Leviticus in the Old Testament there, but turn over to Romans chapter 1, and you'll see here again how God condemns sodomy as sin. Romans chapter 1, verse 24. These, I know, are familiar verses perhaps to you, but it's important that we remind ourselves of what the Word of God says on these very solemn issues. Verse 24 of Romans 1, "Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God." Underline that. That's what they're seeking to do today. They're seeking to change the truth of God. That's what the government is seeking to do in Westminster, to change the truth of God. God's truth says that marriage is between a man and a woman. And God's truth establishes that clearly, right from the beginning of time. But they're seeking to change that truth. And of course, that's what the ungodly will seek to do, who change the truth of God into a lie, verse 25, "and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever, amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lusts one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Look at verse 32. Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Oh, my friend, it's important that we see here what God's word teaches on these very, very solemn matters. Marriage was instituted by God at the beginning, after the creation. And it was between a man and a woman, between a male and a female. Now, there's something else I want you to notice. Just turn back again to Genesis chapter 2. I want you to notice, thirdly, the purpose of marriage. I will be saying more about this, of course, in the course of these studies when we get into it. This is, as I've said, just a brief introductory message for this series. But I want you to notice two things under this point. First of all, companionship. Look at what it says in Genesis 2 and verse 18. And the Lord God said, it is not good that a man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. Marriage was instituted for companionship. That's what we learn here. When God brought Adam and Eve together, it was so that they could enjoy each other's company. It was so that they could have fellowship with each other. It was so that they could have a loving relationship, so that they could talk to each other and converse with each other. Eve was a helpmeet for Adam, a companion, a friend, someone to love, and for someone to love him. And that is emphasized to us here in this chapter, the beginning of creation, when God first instituted the first marriage and first set up the first family unit. Companionship. But notice also here, secondly, reproduction. When God instituted marriage at the beginning and set up the family unit, one of the purposes of marriage was to produce children and replenish the earth. Again, if you take a look there at Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, you'll read these words. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And this truth again is emphasized in many places in the Word of God. But let me just read you Psalm 127. It's a familiar psalm, I'm sure, to most of us, but we read in that portion of Scripture, verses 3 to 5, these wonderful words. Psalm 127. In verse 3, lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Every time I conduct a wedding in this church, I quote these words. Marriage was instituted by God in the beginning when he created heaven and earth and all that is within them. Marriage was instituted for the lifelong companionship and devotion of husband and wife. It is ordained as the foundation and bond of family life for the mutual help, society and comfort that husband and wife ought to have the one of the other, and for the bringing up of children in the knowledge and love of God. Marriage is not to be entered upon by any lightly or thoughtlessly, but reverently, discreetly, and in the fear of God. And of course, that is a very simple and clear definition of what marriage is. Men and women, I have been seeking very simply to set before you what God says about marriage and the family. This is God's way and God's truth. May we never turn away from it, and may we ever seek to teach these fundamental truths to our children and the generations to come. The Bible, and the Bible alone, is our only rule of faith and practice. Sad to say, however, as we have already noticed, that prior to the second coming of Christ, things will wax worse and worse. And men will be lovers of themselves instead of lovers of God. I want you to turn over just for a moment to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Here we have the Apostle Paul under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And Paul here, as he comes to write to young Timothy, and of course Timothy is the young minister, he comes to instruct Timothy how he ought to carry out his ministry, and he reminds Timothy of how, as the ages go by, things will wax worse and worse. Take a look there at 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetousness, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, that word just simply means uncontrolled, without strength, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lay captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jandes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Underline those words. They resist the truth. And of course that's the problem in this 21st century. Men do not want the truth. And every time you quote the Bible, and every time you say what God says, they don't want to hear. They don't want to listen. They resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds reprobate concerning the faith. Now, if Paul in his day was writing to Timothy to remind him of these things, how much more do we need to be reminded in this age in which we live? But when you read on down this passage of Scripture, you see clearly the duty of the child of God as these things begin to happen. Take a look there at verse 14. But continue thou. Here's Paul's exhortation to Timothy. And this, of course, is God's exhortation to you and I in this 21st century. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learnt and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learnt them. Child of God, we are not to waver. And there are many wavering today. Many seeking to turn away from the truth. Even those that you would expect wouldn't turn away from the truth. So-called churchmen. And they're seeking as well to redefine the meaning of marriage. And redefine many other things as well. But here's God's instruction to you and I. that we are to continue in the things which we have learnt. In other words, we are to continue in the Word of God. You see, from verse 14 on, Paul reminds Timothy of what he was taught as a child. Look at verse 15 and read it in the context. And not from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. My, how many times have we quoted that text of Scripture, and rightly so, as a single verse? But when you look at it in the context, you can see that our confidence, when all these things come upon this world, our confidence is not to be in ourselves, but in the Word of God and in the Scriptures of truth. And therefore the Scriptures of truth and the Bible ought to mean more to us today than it has ever meant to the people of God. So important that when all these things that are mentioned here begin to happen, and they have begun to happen, and they are happening, they're happening all around us, and they've got right up now to the very top, the government seeking to change and redefine what God has taught in His precious truth. Oh, child of God, let us remember that we are to remain faithful to the teaching of God's precious Word. And you know, it's getting harder in this age to do that. But no matter how difficult things become, we need to rest upon what God says in His precious Word. And especially young people. And we're blessed in this church with many young people. And we thank God for all of those young people who are saved and love the Lord. But young people, it's so important that you stand fast in God's truth. No matter what's going on all around us. Men and government will seek to force us to accept these things that they are seeking to change. But we are not to accept them. And that's what the Apostle Paul here is seeking to teach Timothy. Oh, I pray that the Lord will in these days give us backbone, and that the Lord will give us grace and help. Thank God we can turn to the precious Word of God, and we can gain our strength from God's precious Word. Maybe there are those here today and you're not saved. You believe and you accept what the Bible says about marriage and about the setting up of this institution. And you believe in the family as the Bible teaches it. But you're still not saved and you're still not born again of the Spirit of God. Well, my friend, that my prayer for you would be that even this day that you would come and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, especially young people who are planning to get married and planning to set up a home and planning to start a family. My, build your home on Christ. Build your home on a solid foundation. And of course, you can only build your home on Christ when you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Redeemer. And that's why it is so important for you to come and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Redeemer. Would you come today and trust Him? And even those in our congregation who have been married for many years and you're still not saved, my prayer to you would be, come and give your life to the Lord. And even this day, the Lord would bless you, and He would bless you richly. There's just one verse I want to draw your attention to before we close, and it's the text of Scripture in Isaiah, and it's verse 8, chapter 8 and verse 20. It's a very familiar text, I'm sure, to many of us, but listen to these words. Isaiah 8, verse 20. To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. O child of God, if there's a text in the whole of the Bible that we should use as a motto text in this wicked age in which we're living, then it is this text. Learn it. Memorize it. Get it into your head and into your heart. For you're going to need it in the days that lie ahead. To the law, the Word of God, and to the testimony, God's truth. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there's no light in them. No matter who is speaking. Whether it's the man on the street, or the Prime Minister in the government, no matter who's speaking, no matter what they're trying to do, if they don't speak according to this word that you have in your hands, the Word of God, there's no light in them. And I don't care how many votes they've got. And I don't care how long they've been at Westminster. There's no light in them. That's what the Bible says. And our responsibility is to live according to this word. Oh, may God bless his word to all of our hearts. Let's bow in a wee word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee and we praise thee for the simple, clear teaching of thy word. And we just pray, Lord, that you would help us to know thy word in these days and help us not to be ashamed to stand up for thy truth. O God, the world would try to cow us. And the devil, Lord, would seek to put stumbling blocks in front of us. And O God, many times when we should open our mouths, we keep them shut. But Lord, help us in these days not to be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation. We thank thee for thy word. And Lord, we have nothing to be ashamed about. We thank thee that it's truth. And we thank thee that thy word is forever settled in heaven. And we pray, Lord, in these days that you would help us, Lord, to defend it. And help us, Lord, to preach it from the housetop. And oh God, no matter what men are doing or men are saying, no matter what governments are doing and governments are saying, help us to stand four square on thy precious word. Oh God, I pray for those in our congregation who are still not saved. We pray, Lord, that you would unite family circles. We ask thee, Lord, for young people who are planning to get married, that you would bless them and encourage them as they set up home together. But Lord, we pray that they will set up their home on Christ. On Christ, the solid rock we stand. All other ground is sinking sand. And O God, we thank thee that with Christ in the vessel, we can smile at the storm. Even, Lord, the storms that are raging around us in this wicked evil age. We do thank thee, Lord, that where sin abounds, grace doth much more abound. We thank thee, Lord, for the grace in our hearts today and our lives. O God, we thank thee for the peace of God that's in our souls. Lord, as this world marches headlong to hell, O God, we thank thee. We praise thee for the blessed rest in Christ. And we thank thee for the anchor that we have in the blessed Son of God. For he has promised never to leave us nor forsake us. And he has promised to give us help in our time of need. Bless us now, Lord. And we just pray that you'd come and bless these messages week by week. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen.